slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Chris, would you ask the Lord's blessing upon his messenger tonight? Yes,
Lord. Lord, let us hear from you this night, Father God. We thank you for
it. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. I don't intend to keep you long tonight, but I do want to remind you of God's goodness and His mercy and His great ability. I said His great ability. Yes. If I had a message topic tonight or a title, it'd be My Help is from the Lord. I was thinking of this particular passage of Scripture this week, and I began to reminisce and think, a little walk down memory lane, if you would, and I began to reminisce and think about things that the Lord had done for me over my years. I learned at a very early age to depend on God. I was taught by my family that God is the answer to all of life's problems, that when seemingly nothing else or no one else could help us, that we have a God who cares. And not only does He care, but He has the ability to help us. He's helped me through many trials. He's helped me through many burdens, situations in my life that would arise that I had no answer to. I'm so glad that I know a God that I can take them to, and I know from where my help comes from. Amen. And I'll always lift up my voice and lift up my hands in praise and adoration, amen, and appreciation to what God has done. But I guess the earliest that I can remember when I really, really prayed a prayer that I needed God to move was in a very early age of my life. I probably was maybe, this is kind of wretching it and stretching it a little bit, but maybe I was in, I'm going to say either right before school, kindergarten age, or first grade. And we had some cousins over at our house, and we're playing ball. I grew up playing outside. I don't know if you can relate to that, but when I was growing up, we wouldn't stay in the house too much. We were outside. We were playing ball. I had a favorite little bat that Daddy had given me. Daddy was an avid baseball fan, and he would get me out in the backyard, and he would put me up against the foundation of the house, and he would throw the ball to me. That was the catcher back there. He'd throw the ball to me and taught me how to swing the bat and make connection with the ball. And I was one of those persons that never wanted to quit. I know that Daddy worked, but he'd take the time, and I wanted to play and play and play till it got too dark to play. But anyway, we was playing, and I had my favorite little bat that Daddy had bought, and the cousins were there, and we picked up a little ball game, and we were playing. And anyway, they left, and we went on about our business. And I don't know, several days later, if it wasn't even weeks, I couldn't find the bat. I looked in the house, I looked in the playhouse, I looked all around, and I really, really wanted to find that bat. And I even looked around where I thought we had played and maybe left it, and I could not for the life of me find that baseball bat. And it really disturbed me. It disturbed me because it was my favorite baseball bat, but it also disturbed me because that's the bat that Daddy gave to me. And so I did what I was taught to do. I had just exhausted all my measures of trying to find that baseball bat. And bear with me just a little bit because I have a point to make. But I asked the Lord, and I was very serious with this prayer, Brother Jim, as serious as a six-year-old could possibly be. And I explained to God that I needed help finding that bat. I just did not want to give up. I knew that bat had to be around there somewhere. It never crossed my mind that anybody had taken that bat. That was the farthest thing from my mind. I just knew that bat was misplaced somewhere on that property, and I just had not looked in the right place yet. So I really got in serious prayer with God, and I began to ask Him. I said, Lord, help me to find that bat. Lord, I know that You know exactly where that is. And I prayed as serious prayer as possibly as a six-year-old could pray. But I believed when I got up from that prayer because of what my granddaddy had preached, because of what my mama and my daddy had told me, that if you'll depend on God, God will answer your prayers, and he'll be your help, amen, when nobody else can help you. And I believe that with all of my heart because I've been raised that way. And I prayed that very serious prayer. And after I prayed that prayer, I began to walk back and look in some of the same places now that I had looked before. And I looked over, and, you know, back then there was the yard where they cut the grass, and right on the edge of the yard was the place where they didn't cut the grass, you know. And that wasn't because they didn't have a riding lawnmower. That's because they had one of those push mowers, and that's where Daddy had cut the grass. And I was walking there, and that's where we had played ball. And all of a sudden, my eyes just went to the left, and right there was that bat laying probably not a foot into that high grass. I reached down, I grabbed that bat, and I began to praise the Lord. And I thank God for that. At a very early age, I learned to depend on God. I learned, amen, that no matter how little it seems the situation is in our life, and it may be as unimportant as a little baseball bat, but to me that was very, very important. But the fact that I learned, amen, that is, if I ask believing, all things are possible. God was still on the throne today, and God is still answering prayers for those that put their faith in Him. And the psalmist here began to realize that when I need help, I know where to go. And I ask you that question tonight. Is God your last alternative? Is God the last one that you go to when you really need help? When you really need a decision to be made in your life? Is it asking someone else or exhausting all other measures and doing everything that is humanly possible for us to do to try to fix or try to get an answer to this situation? Or do we find go to God from where our true help comes from and place that situation in His hands? I will assure you, if you do that, God will in fact make a way. Now, several years has transpired, and many, many times I had occasion to ask God for help. Time does not allow me tonight to relay all the times that God has helped me, but take my word for it, it's been more than I can number. On any situations, from the health of my family, from my physical condition, to decisions that have to be made financially or personally, or sometimes when I just need a friend. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes when I just need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes when I just need somebody to comfort me. I know where I can go. And I know that the help that I'm going to get is going to be from my God. Amen. Who's able to help us through any situation. Time has transpired. I'm no longer 6 years old. I'm married. We're expecting our first child. And as we went to the hospital that night or that evening, actually it turned into night, complications began to arise with our firstborn. And I know I've relayed part of the message or part of the story from before, but I was able to go into the delivery room. And from the very start, I felt really, really nervous about this particular delivery. I just felt something uneasiness. You can call it nervousness for your first child or whatever the situation was. But as time went on, the nurses, they were talking to the doctor, and the doctor made some motions, and the nurses escorted me out of the delivery room. Well, I'm not the brightest person in the world, but I realized and knew then that something wasn't exactly right, and something they did not want me to be in there because they had some emergency to tend to. Later found out that Sister Penny was going through a very traumatic birthing process, and they had to do a last-minute C-section, and from that time, but I didn't know all of that then. Only thing I knew is they escorted me out of that room. I went down the hall where my family and friends were gathered, and we began to sit there, and they were talking, and I know they were trying to ease my mind, and I know they were trying to, kind of pass the time away, but my mind was still in that room with my wife. I was still concerned. In my spirit, I felt such an uneasiness, and I sat there for a little while, and I remembered the scripture that where my help comes from. You know, at that particular time, as much as I love and admire and appreciate my dad, I knew that there was something going on in that delivery room that even my dad couldn't help me with. And as much as I love my mother, and as much as I see my mother now as she has become depended on me. I know that she would do anything in the world to help. But I knew that what was going on in that delivery room was beyond my mother's ability to help. If it was, she would have done anything that she could, but it was beyond her. It was beyond my pastor, my granddaddy, who was such a pillar of faith in my life, who constantly was there for me, who constantly helped me and mentored me. But I knew what was going on in that delivery room was way beyond the ability of my granddaddy to reach down and do anything. If he could, he would have done it. But I just kind of dismissed myself. When they were all talking, I just sort of walked down the hall and I found a little room that was empty. And this room that was empty is called the little chapel at the old hospital that's tore down now. Many of you may know exactly where that it was. And I made my way into that room and I began to pray and I began to ask God to help me. And I know that I went in there first, and I've shared this with you. My first prayer was kind of a selfish prayer, and I was praying a poor, pitiful me type of prayer. And let me tell you something, if you want help from God, you better be able to receive the help that He's going to give you, because sometimes the help that you need is not a hug around the neck. Sometimes the help that you need from God is not a little pat on the shoulder. Sometimes what we need from God is a wake-up call. Sometimes what we need from God is the strong arm of His power to lift us out of a horrible pit and establish our goings and set our feet on a solid rock. I was praying for a pitiful prayer, but it's like the Holy Ghost kind of slapped me upside the face and said, you need to be praying for your child that's being born there. And I'm so thankful that I began to find peace in that prayer room. I began to ask God to come on the scene, and I found help in a little chapel, in a little a hospital, when nobody else could help me, when no doctor could comfort me, when no family member could really give me encourage. I thank God that I know where my help comes from. I'd love to tell you that God instantly healed him. That was not the situation, but God knew that I needed strength to raise that son, and He knew that Sister Penny needed strength, and God was our help, and today He is still helping us. Helping us. He's always there for us. Time has transpired. My son is doing fairly well. Life goes on. The Lord blessed us with a beautiful baby daughter. Everything from the first traumatic birth is a distant thing away. We were praying, just, Lord, let this thing be normal. Let this birthing process. And because that Sister Penny had a C-section, Karen was automatically going to be a C-section, and we were sitting in the church house just about right there behind where Sister Val and Sister Linda were sitting, and it was on a Sunday morning. My granddaddy was preaching. I mean, he was letting it roll. And I love to say that I would sit and listen to everything that my granddaddy would preach about, but that morning, my mind was on something else. Penny was looking at me, and every few minutes, she would grab her stomach, and she would say, there's another one. And I began to time those things. I knew I should be paying attention to the Word of God, but I was so nervous because every 2 minutes, she was having a contraction. And I said, baby, we're going to have to leave church and go to the hospital. She said, no, I want to eat lunch before we go. Her heart and mind was set on lunch. By the time my granddaddy got through preaching, I said, honey, don't worry about lunch. We go into the hospital. And less than 2 hours later, we had a beautiful baby girl. No problems, no issues, no situations. Amen. But as time went on, there was a night when my wife was having very difficult problems trying to breathe. I knew that it was serious for her to even say, I'm going to the emergency room. Now, you understand, we have a son. And Karen was already up in age, but I could not leave Kevin. She said, don't worry, I'll be back in just a little bit. Well, a little bit turned into an hour turned into two, and I'm trying to find out and trying to, you know, reach her, and I can't get her. And she finally calls me back and said that they had found a blood clot in her lung. And that was the reason that she couldn't breathe. And I knew she was praying. And I went back to God, who was there for me when my son needed help, who was there for me when such a little trivial thing as finding a baseball bat meant the world to a little six-year-old boy. I went to that same source, amen, and I began to pray a prayer. God, I know that you are able. You are the help, God, that I can trust in. You are the only help that I can have, God. I'm reaching to you, Lord, right now. I pray, God, that you would reach there into that operating room, into that emergency room. I wish I could be there with her. It was so terrible. I felt so guilty. I felt so bad. But God, I said, I know you can be there with her. And God touched her. Praise God. I'm so glad that God reached down and healed her, because he was my help. He's always been my help. And I thank God that I know where that help comes from. As I said, I could probably write a book, and I know you could too, on the things that God has done for us. He won't even let our foot be moved. Amen. He keepeth us so that we won't spiritually go to sleep. He keeps Israel. They shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. I had never thought about that too much until I started to run some reference on that. The shade of our right hand. It seems that the psalmist here was making a little symbolic nature or a parallel thought to a soldier. And we just finished up a Wednesday night where we studied on the complete armor of the Roman soldier, and how that we are supposed to equip ourselves as a Christian soldier and have the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and gird up our loins and take the shield of faith. And as I began to read that, sometimes we read through scripture so fast we don't even realize maybe what the writer was intending. But here he said, I'll be your shade upon the right hand. It was customary and normal then for the shield to be carried on the left hand. Amen. You know the shield that protects us from all the fiery darts. But God said, I'll even go a step farther. I know that your right hand may be uncovered sometimes. I know sometimes you don't have time to throw that shield around because you don't know that there's danger. What that let me know, Brother New, is that God is looking out for us even when we don't even have an idea what's going on. Many, many times as cars pass by us, time and time again, we're that close, amen, to a terrible accident. But God is taking hold and shading our right hand. Amen. We're protecting ourselves from the fiery darts, but God's also helping us even when we don't even realize it. Aren't you glad you know that you got help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? He's always there to help us through adversity, through affliction, through sickness, through heartache, whatever the case may be. Amen. I'm so glad that we have help that we can go to. Then the Lord says, the Bible says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Aren't you glad that your soul has been preserved? Aren't you glad, as Brother Larry said, amen, we're on the threshold of eternity. We don't know the day nor the hour. Someone just reminded me this week, life is like a vapor. I was recalling, that's what my granddaddy used to say all the time. He's been gone since 1986, but he always preached, life is a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. It's amazing how we look back over the last 10 or 20 years and how fast that seemingly has flown by. But you know what? I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. He shall preserve us. Amen. When I leave this walk of life, because of my help, because of my Savior, because of the one who redeemed me, I know I have a place in heaven. Glory to God, where he's going to be able to help me for the rest of eternity. He'll be my counselor. He'll be my guide. He'll be my closest friend as he is here. I'm so glad that he preserves us. And the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you glad that we have a help in Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad? All my hope is in Jesus.